Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 225, the stanzas 1 and 2. How dear to me, O Lord of hosts, the place where thou dost dwell, the tabernacles of thy grace in pleasantness excel. My spirit longs, yea, even faints, thy sacred courts to see. My thirsting heart and flesh cry out, O living God, for thee. We mention to you Psalter 225, the first two stanzas. Scripture reading for this morning you can find in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. We mentioned to you Song of Solomon, chapter 2. But before we will listen to the holy law of God, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. He mentioned to you the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O you daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Thus far.
Congregation, we especially wish to remember in prayer Mrs. Michelle Colmes, who's in the hospital, and also Mr. Jeff Valdesgraf, who's waiting for biopsy results. Let us beg the Lord for his presence and his blessing among us this morning. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who lives and reigns forever, thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, thou who art that faithful covenant-keeping Jehovah. And Lord, then on this first day of the week, on this morning, thou hast given us and our children together as a congregation that we may gather in thy house again to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy precious word, through law and gospel. Lord, may it be a wonder to each one of us that thou art yet willing to speak to us, that thou hast not cast us away under thy eternal wrath because of all our sins and iniquities and transgressions. And may we feel and know and see that it's thy long-suffering patience over us unworthy sinners. And Lord, as we have come together in thy house to hear thy word, but also not only to hear the gospel, but also to see the gospel through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that thou hast instituted in thy mercy and goodness to comfort thy poor, needy people, that black bride who is full of sin, who can find nothing in self, and who need everything in thee, in that blessed bridegroom of the bride. Oh, we beg and pray thee and beseech thee, Lord, in thy mercy, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for the comfort of sinners, bless the preaching of thy precious word, but also the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Oh, wilt thou draw those poor and needy ones unto thyself and to the table, and that they may have a little rest, a little comfort, that thou wouldst speak to them as thou wilt speak to thy bride and comfort them with thyself, who thou art. Oh, may they not only feel black in themselves, but comely, beautiful in thee. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would work by thy word and Holy Spirit, that thou would apply thy word, but also the sacrament to those who are thy bride, who may come, that thou would remember them in thy mercy. Lord, thou hast said in thy word unto thy servant Isaiah, comfort ye my people. Oh, may there be that comfort that is only in thee, in a triune God, for poor and needy sinners through the preaching and through the Lord's Supper. Oh, thou knowest those poor and needy beggars who lie in the midst of death and who have nothing in self and yet have a longing to come, to be fed by thee, to be comforted by thee, to sit under the shadow of thy wings and to taste of the fruit that is in thee. Lord, we beg thee then, look upon us in mercy. And thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou would be in the midst. Lord, be in our midst in this morning, because without thee, without thy presence, without thy spirit, there will be no blessings. We are completely dependent upon thee for all things for this life, but also all things for our never-dying soul. And Lord, in thee there's an abundance, not only for life, but especially for our souls. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then give faith, that gift of grace that thou plants in the hearts of sinners, and give that faith may be an exercise, that we would not only see ourselves, but also that thou would draw our eyes, that eye of faith, to look upon thee, that beautiful, precious apple tree, that beloved bridegroom. Lord, remember the whole congregation. Thou knowest those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, may they hear through thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, who they are and what they miss and what they need. Oh, may it be in this morning and in this day that they may be brought to true repentance, and that they may cry unto thee for the first time from their heart with their mouth, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, do it for thy great name's sake. Come and pass them by and say, live, and that they may have life. But Lord, remember also all thy dear people. Thou knowest each one. Oh Lord, we beg thee, have mercy upon them. They've had a week to examine ourselves, and those who feel the testimony that they know by God's grace of their misery, of how great my sins are, and of that only way of deliverance revealed unto them by thy word and by thy spirit, that it is in that only Savior that thou hast given, in thy Son, the Son of thy love, that beloved one, that in him is everything they need, but also that they long to live unto thee in holiness, to serve thee, to obey thee. Oh, may they then in obedience, those who know of these things, that they may remember thy death, that they would not fear man, but they would fear thee. And all those who do not know of these essential truths, of that experiential working of the Holy Spirit, of thy grace in their hearts, that they would refrain. O Lord, look upon us in mercy for the glory of thy name, and for comfort of poor and needy sinners, of thy little lambs and of the sheep. Oh, may there be food for the hungry ones. May there be water for the thirsty ones. Lord, we are completely dependent upon thee, upon thy spirit, upon thy mercy and grace. Come, Lord, and blow mightily with the wind of thy spirit among us, and give what no man can give us, that only is in thee. Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Thou art the only one who can give life, and thou art the only one who can feed that life that thou hast given. Lord, remember all those who are mourning. Comfort them. Those who have lost a child, a husband, a wife, those who have lost a sibling, a friend. O Lord, we beg thee, thou art the God of all comfort. Comfort them with thyself. Remember all the sick and afflicted, all those with the cares and the needs of the body and of the mind. May we lay before thee especially Mr. Jeff Valdesgraf, who is waiting for the results of a biopsy. O Lord, we beg thee that this affliction may be a blessing for his soul. Oh, may he know of that other record of thy word, that he has sinned and that he needs a Savior. Oh, may it be by thy grace, by thy free and sovereign grace, that these afflictions may be a blessing to his soul, that he becomes a lost sinner and that he needs that great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, remember also Mrs. Michelle Comey's in the hospital. Remember that life also in her womb. Care for her. Give wisdom to the doctors. Remember her husband, her family. And Lord, in thy mercy, spare her life. And spare the life of that little child in the womb. Give wisdom. Give health in thy mercy, Lord. Remember then also all thy servants whom thou hast called to proclaim thy word throughout the world among Jew and Gentile. Lord, we are sinful men, but may we be instruments in thy hand for thy honor, for the glory of thy name, and for the coming of thy kingdom, for the salvation of sinners, that sinners under the preaching may be born again. but also for the edification of thy dear people. Lord, give grace and give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach death in Adam and life in Christ, and that thy dear Son may be lifted up, and thou hast promised that when he is lifted up in the preaching, that thou wilt draw sinners unto him. Lord, we beg thee, bless then thy word throughout the world, that thy kingdom may come, that sinners would be born again, and that there may be those blessings that are in the abundant riches of thy dear Son for poor, needy, guilty, wretched sinners. Lord, we beg thee then come among us, look upon us in mercy, take away all the obstacles and all the hindrances in preaching and in listening. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach. Give the words, give the thoughts. Be with my mouth and be with the ears of the hearers. Open their spiritually deaf ears, Lord, and that they may hear thy voice, that we may proclaim, thus saith the Lord, and that they may hear. It's a message from the Almighty God. Enlighten minds, not only to who we are before thee, that holy and almighty just God of heaven and earth, who will by no means clear the guilty, but also, Lord, bless the precious gospel, that poor and needy sinners may be drawn unto thee. Thou knowest those who are crying, draw me, and we will run after thee. Thou knowest those poor beggars that cry, kiss me with the kisses of thy mouth, that long for a little token, a little smile, a little comfort for their soul. Lord, come among us with thy word and spirit, and bless it richly, Lord, to the glory of thy name, and give what no man can give us. Oh, do above all that we think and expect and ask, Lord, for thy name's sake. Bless thy word throughout this world. Remember all mission work, Lord. We beg thee also among the Bolivian people. Lord, richly bless their help, thy servants there, Pastor Marco, the elders, the deacons, the church workers. And Lord, may thy kingdom come also among them. Remember also the theological school. May we lay before thee the students who will also have exams in this coming week. Help them, Lord, and may there be the testimony that the Lord has helped them, that we may give thanks unto thee. Prepare them to be ambassadors to preach thy precious word. Help the instructors also, Lord. And so we lay these needs before thee. Lord, may we beg thee again, come among us. Give those blessings by the power of the Spirit to poor and needy sinners. We ask, give much prayer, give opening, and give that the end of this day, that we may be humbled in the dust, and that thou would be exalted to the highest, that we may say it was good to be here in thy house, because the Lord was among us. Lord, do not pass us by as we only deserve, but look upon us, help us, hear us, answer us, because of him, because of thy dear Son, because of thy beloved one. Oh, wash us in that all-atoning blood, we pray, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 241, the first five stanzas. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. 241, the first five stanzas, and the collections for this morning is for the church and for the Benevolent Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, the precious word of God which we will meditate on this morning in preparation for the Lord's Supper is from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 3. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. So far from God's precious word, the theme is Christ, the beloved bridegroom. Christ, the beloved bridegroom. Three thoughts. First, his unequaled splendor for the bride. His unequaled splendor for the bride. We read, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Second, his refreshing shelter for the bride. We read, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And the third thought, his sweet satisfaction for the bride. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. And so with the Lord's help, the following theme and 3 points. Christ, the beloved bridegroom. His unequaled splendor for the bride. He becomes absolutely beautiful for the bride, for those black sinners. Is he beautiful? Has he become beautiful for you? Second, his refreshing shelter for the bride. That bride wants a place of shelter. And there comes only one place of shelter. And that is sitting under the shadow of his wings. And his sweet refreshment for the bride. And his fruit. Who he is. His merits. What he has done. For poor, black, wretched sinners become sweet for their souls. Has his fruit. Who he is, his being, his person. Is there hunger? Is there thirst for him? And have you tasted a little something? And do you long for more? And so with the Lord's help, our first thought, his unequaled splendor for the bride. The bride says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Song of Solomon is a poetic language. We hear the bridegroom speaking to the bride, and we hear the bride speaking back to the bridegroom. They're expressing their love and affection for one another. And in Song of Solomon chapter 2, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride speaks in the first verse. He speaks about himself. He says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And then Christ, the beloved bridegroom, expresses his love and affection for his bride in verse 2. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. And then in response, the bride speaks back to the bridegroom, that bridegroom whom they love, in verse 3. And in poetic language, she expresses her deep love and affection for him. You hear her exalting him, exalting that bridegroom that drew her unto him. And those that cry, draw me, she says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. So we hear about an apple tree. Children, you hear it? An apple tree. And maybe you have a picture in your mind and you say, I know what an apple tree is. It has fruit on it. And at fall time, we pick those beautiful fruits, those apples. But three times in the Bible, we read about an apple tree. It's not an apple tree that we think of. It's a citron tree or an orange tree. It's a tree that is evergreen, like an evergreen tree. It always has green foliage. It has widespread branches with beautiful green leaves. And under that tree is an area of shade, of protection. And that tree has beautiful blossoms on it year round, they say. But also something else, that apple tree, that citron tree, or that orange tree always bears fruit all year round. So you see that tree? You see that beautiful tree? We see a forest, for example, and there's all kinds of trees, but there's one tree that stands out. No other tree is so beautiful as this tree. Other trees, for example, may give you a little shade, but it doesn't have fruit. Or another tree has fruit, but it doesn't give you shade. This one tree, there's no other tree compared to this tree. You see the bride? She's expressing her love for whom? Her love for the bridegroom. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. The bride is expressing her heart, her affections for the bridegroom. There's no other one compared to thee. There's no other one that has captured my heart like thee. Thou art the only one, the chief one in my heart. I had love for others, but not anymore. There's only love for one, for the bridegroom, for him. She's expressing her deep affection for that one who sought her, who found her, who renewed her, and who became in her life and in her heart that one of unequal splendor, unequal beauty. No one else is compared to him. Is that your heart? Do you know this in your life by God's grace? Well, in traveling, we can go past things and we don't see the beauty. Or we see it, but we're completely ignorant of the beauty. And so by nature, we also know by nature, we see absolute no beauty in the bridegroom, in Jesus Christ. We hear about him, right, children? You hear about him. You hear him in school. You hear about your home. You hear him in a church. But by nature, we are ignorant of his beauties. We hear him. We don't see anything. We're like those people that Isaiah preached to. And what did he say in Isaiah 53, verse 1 and 2? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That's you and me by nature. He's proclaimed in the preaching. We hear his name. We can even write his name. We can repeat his name. But there's no beauty of him. And yet this bride, we hear her expressing, her love. She's exalting her bridegroom. Sinners, by God's grace, learn and see their blackness before God, who is a holy and just God. They become lost, and they have love poured in their hearts, and they long for reconciliation with God. And the Lord teaches them by the word and spirit, by law and gospel, and they are led to emptiness and self, that they see no more fruit in themselves. It's all filthy. It's all polluted. And they're led, drawn to one place. They're drawn to that apple tree. They're drawn to that bridegroom. They're drawn to that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes necessary, but he also becomes so suitable. He becomes suitable exactly for the needs of their perishing black soul before God. And the Lord teaches them by the law of their blackness and sinfulness, but also through the hearing of the gospel. He reveals unto them by the power of the Holy Spirit, of that only one, of that apple tree, of that precious Savior of sinners. And he becomes the object of their faith. They begin to look with those eyes outside of self, because they can't find anything in themselves anymore that's pleasing to God. And they hear about him, and they're drawn to look upon him, that only Savior. Is that you, my friend? Is that you? And he becomes one, a beautiful one. No, not in his physical appearance, but in his person, who he is. Who he is for a perishing, black, guilty sinners. He becomes equal in splendor in their souls. They long to praise him. They long to live for him. If they could get rid of all sin, if they could get rid of that flesh that clings to them like a body of death, and they want to exalt him like the bride, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. It's an echo of the poet in Psalm 45, verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Fairer, more beautiful in any than anyone else. We were conceived and born in sin, children, teenagers, all of us. But he is fairer, that bridegroom, that savior, he's fairer because he was not born and conceived in sin. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he was born pure. And those black ones need a pure one to stand in their place, and he becomes beautiful in his pureness. In his pureness, they are revealed unto them. They begin to look unto him. He becomes fairer. He becomes unequal in splendor. May I ask you, has he become fairer than anyone else, than yourself, and anyone else in the whole world? Do you need him? Is he beautiful, precious, for your black, perishing soul that only deserves to be under eternal wrath? May I ask you this morning, what do you think of self? What do you think of self? And what do you think of the bridegroom? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has he become necessary? And has he become suitable for your soul? You need him, and you need him alone. Is there no other name that's precious to you? There's only one name whereby we must be saved, and that is his name of the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he becomes an unequal splendor for unworthy perishing sinners, for polluted lepers who begin to cry unto him, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Are there spiritual lepers crying unto him? Are there perishing sinners, sinking in all the waves of their sin? And are you crying unto me, Lord, save me, I perish? Are there sinners who long for his nearness? For his nearness, you long for him to comfort you. Draw me, kiss me, comfort me with an only comfort. I can't find any comfort in self and in nothing, even in all my experiences, blessings of God's grace. But I need him. I need that only one. I need that one, that blessed apple tree, that bridegroom to comfort my soul. As we read in the text, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among sons. Think of him as the mediator. Do you need a mediator for your soul? That mediator, he is very man. He came in the flesh. That becomes beautiful. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. You're a sinner. You deserve to die. And you need one to stand in your place. Is there one? That meteor, he came in the flesh to stand in the place of black, perishing sinners. But he's not only a man. He's a righteous man. He has a robe of righteousness to clothe unrighteous ones. Are you this morning here sitting as a black bride? All you have is filthy rags. Nothing to clothe yourself in the presence of God, that he could look upon you, and you need to be righteous. Has he become that one who came in the flesh? What a wonder, could he be in my place? But he could also be my righteousness. I need to be righteous, but how? He's the righteous one, but he's also divine, that mediator. He's a man, a righteous man, and divine. Has he become fairer? Also, that he's God. That he has the power to save helpless, hell-worthy sinners who cannot save themselves anymore. Have you seen a little something of him as that mediator, as that man to stand in the place of you, of one that's righteous, that you need his righteousness, but also that he's very God to be able to bring you back into reconciliation with God, of Emmanuel, of his blood, that blood that has power to wash all sins, of that blood that is so powerful to close hell that you only are worthy of, and to open heaven. That blood satisfying the justice of God, and you must pay, and he must be satisfied. But you can't find anything in yourself, but it's in him. And that blessed apple tree, and that beloved one, that beloved bridegroom, has he become that one unequal in splendor? And is your poor eye looking unto him, hoping in him, expecting everything only in him? Are you that one that's black in self? And you know there's only one way to stand in the presence, beautiful and comely, in the presence of that Almighty God that you have sinned against. Only to be comely in him. Can you agree with what the bride expresses? As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons of men. Myriads of angels, myriads of holy, infinite beings in heaven, but he's much more beautiful because no angel can save a perishing, wretched sinner. But he is that one who can save and reconcile perishing sinners with the holy God. There's many prophets that we read of in the Old Testament, but he's the only prophet. Has he become the only prophet? He's the one that teaches. And who can teach like he teaches? As that compassionate, honest, blessed, great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was many high priests we know of. But he is the high priest. He's the great high priest. Why? Because he did not take a lamb, but he gave himself. He's the high priest and the lamb. What beauty in him. What preciousness. One unequal splendor and beauty in him. That apple tree and the bride. Can you say with psalmist, Psalm 89 verse 6, for who in the heaven can compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? The upright love thee. The upright love him. There's love for him. He is their heart's desire. He is the object of the faith. They adore him. They cry unto him, draw me and I will run after thee. My friend, may I ask you, as we come to the end of our first thought, do you know something of these experiences? Lost, black in self, but that he becomes an object of your love, of your heart, of your desire. Are you longing for him, waiting for him, longing for him to kiss you again with the kisses of his mouth? This is the life of the bride. These are the ones that he says with the desire, I desire to have communion with you. What a wonder. We deserve nothing. We deserve only uncomfort. We only deserve hell. But he came to be that one, to comfort wretched sinners and to deliver them from the wrath and condemnation. Hearing the word and believing in the word, believing in who he is, of who you are, but of who he is, then there also is that drawing, and they come to sit under the shadow of his tree. We go to our second thought, his refreshing shelter for the bride. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. So let's have a little picture here. Imagine a man walking in the hot sun, in the area under the hot sun, on a very hot day. The wind is blowing, and he's been traveling for a while. He becomes weary, tired. The sun is beating upon his head, and he desires a place to rest, a desire, a place of shadow, of shade from the hot, scorching sun. And he sees a tree. Among all those trees, a beautiful green tree, and he comes and he sits under that shade of that tree to have some rest, and he has delight from refreshment from the scorching sun. His need to have shadow caused him to look for a tree. And also the beauty of the tree drew him to that tree. He didn't go sit under any other tree. What a place of shelter. You see it? That man, weary, tired, sitting, delighting under the shadow of the tree. My friend, there's no greater blessing. No greater blessing than a sinner to be taught by God's free and sovereign grace. What blessing? To be taught of what? That you are black. That you are sinful. Why? Because by nature we can see this tree. We can hear about this tree. But we have no need for him. And so the Lord in his free and sovereign grace. It's the great blessing to be taught of yourself. So that there's a need for the tree. A need for that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That you stand guilty before a holy and just God who can by no means clear the guilty. And you need shade. You need a place of shelter. You need a place of shelter. Not from the sun as that man. That was only an illustration. But you need a place of shelter. Of shade, so to speak. From the wrath of God. Is there a place? All those hearts begin to cry. Is there a place? Is there a place that I can find shelter? There is a shelter. Isaiah prophesied of him. Isaiah 32 verse 2. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. And a covert from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place. As the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. This speaks of the beloved bridegroom. This speaks of the Messiah. This speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the shelter. He's the only shelter from the wrath of God. And so, remember that man, the heat of the sun drove him to look for a need of a tree. And the beauty of that tree drew him to him. A little picture of the life of grace in the heart of a sinner. The prophet Jesus Christ teaches them by the law of their sin. Of their under the curse, under the wrath of God. And they come to need a shelter. All other shelters become absolutely insufficient. They cannot hide from, cover from the wrath of God. Is that you? Do you understand this experientially in your own life, in your own heart, needing a shelter, seeking a shelter? All other shelters absolutely insufficient. Maybe before you had a little shelter, fill it in for yourself. But the wind of the Spirit blew it to pieces. It all became destroyed, insufficient before those holy eyes of God. And in the soul there comes a need. Is that you? I need a shelter. Where's a shelter? And through the word you heard of a shelter and you're crying, sighing to the Lord. Oh God, give thou ear to my plea. And hide not thyself from my cry. Oh, hearken and answer thou me. As restless and weary I sigh. That weary traveler needs a place. Searches. And he finds a place. A place that's revealed unto him. And the beauty of the tree draws them to him. Draws them to that place. In the life of grace. All other places become insufficient, but he becomes the only place. He becomes the only shelter, the only one. And he draws them to himself with what? With who he is, of his beauties, of his riches, of everything that he is. And he draws them also with his invitation. Those poor sinners, may I sit under that tree? Me, such a black one, such a wretched one. And he draws them with the invitation, for example, of Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Take my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so those poor sinners, recipients of grace, are driven to that tree, but also drawn by the work of the Holy Spirit. My friend, do you know something of this life of grace in your heart, of your wretchedness, of your blackness, needing a place of shelter? And that apple tree, that precious Savior, he becomes the only place to shelter from the wrath of God. Have you sought for a place, but you couldn't find one? You were crying, sighing, reading the word, coming to church, and you found it through the word of God. God revealed it unto you in his free and sovereign grace. That he's the shelter, that he's the rock, that he's that one that you can hide in. And were you driven to him as a guilty sinner and drawn to him by those cords of love, longing to just sit? Just to sit under that tree and to look at all his beauty. Is that you? Is that your heart longing again? That rock has become precious. Has that shelter become precious? Did you sit under that shade? And did you have some refreshment in your soul under that shadow of him, of that beloved one? See that man again, sitting under the tree, driven to that tree, drawn to that tree, and now he also has fruits. That tree, there's fruits, and he takes it, and he eats it. He's refreshed in his body, that man that's traveling in the preaching of the word. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, the Lord works. He drives them to the tree, draws them to the tree. But he doesn't only give them a place of shelter, but he also feeds them. He feeds their souls, their hungry, weary, tired, blackened souls that cannot feed on anything any else anymore. It's all insufficient. It's all sour. They need sweetness. There's only one sweetness, and that's what he has, who he is, his fruit. This is the life of the bride. They adore him that they didn't adore ever before. He becomes the object, the heart, the object of their heart, of their faith, and of their love. And they find rest in him, but they also want to be fed. These are those that the Lord Jesus Christ says, with desire, I desire to sit at the table to feed your soul, to assure you of my love and faithfulness, to comfort you. And he calls, come away my love, come away my fair one, come and sit under my wings again at the table if you know this true life of grace. But then also, that sweet refreshment for the bride, our third thought. And this fruit was sweet to my taste. You see that man? Under that shade, that shelter, refreshed a little. But then he also eats fruit. Fruit. The apple tree. He becomes so beautiful. He becomes precious for the shelter from the wrath of God. But he also becomes necessary to feed those hungry souls. And what feeds those souls? What do they hunger for? What really feeds them? What feeds them? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say in John 6, verse 53? For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The crucified Savior, who he is, that feeds the soul in a way that nothing else can. Faith in him. No, it's not a physical eating. It's not to come and to eat of that bread and wine to be fed with that. No, they're called to lift their heads up unto him. It's him. It's his broken body. It's his shed blood. Faith in him and the crucified Savior. All those lost, unworthy sinners, black in themselves, they need to meet God. They need to meet that holy and just God, and they cannot of themselves. They learn not only of the attributes of God's holiness and his justice and his righteousness, but also of his mercy and of his grace through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they know they need those fruits. I must be righteous. I must be cleansed. I must be washed. I must be pure. I must be forgiven. I must be justified. I must be sanctified. I must be holy, or I must be cast out of his sight. But they look, I have no fruit. I have no righteousness. I have nothing to pay. I have nothing to cover myself before those holy eyes. I need fruit. But then they hear, may I say it with me? The apple tree speaks. The beloved bridegroom speaks. He says, what does he say to those poor ones? Hosea 14, verse 8, from me is thy fruit found. From me, do you hear it, poor sinner? From me is thy fruit found. And what do they respond? What do they respond? Comfort me with apples. Well, in other words, comfort me with thy fruit that is in thee. All that fruit, those blessed fruits that he has for perishing unworthy sinners, that fruit of righteousness. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He has the robe to cover filthy, black, polluted sinners who have nothing but rags. He has that blood to wash, to cleanse. They need to be pure because they need to stand and they long to stand in the presence of that holy God that they love, but they can't in themselves because they're polluted. But he has that blood, the fruit of his blood, the forgiveness of sins, of justification, but also peace, that fruit of peace. There is no peace to the wicked. No peace at all. But that people long for peace. Peace with what? To just live in this world? No, peace with God. That he's not angry with them no more. That they'd only see frowns, but they see smiles. That they can feel a little something of the grace of his love through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All they hear of those fruits. And those poor beggar hands go out. No, they don't just reach and take those fruits. They feel so unworthy. But those beggar hands go out and they beg, feed me, comfort me with apples, comfort me with the fruit of who thou art for my soul. And he feeds them. He gives it unto them, and they may take and they may eat. Oh, what beauties in this bridegroom. What refreshing shelter, but what sweet satisfaction in the soul because of the fruit of who he is. My friend, may I ask you, has he become precious to your soul? Has he become that unequal splendor? No one else has that place. He's the chiefest among 10,000 in your soul. And to have you need, do you need him as that shelter from the wrath of God? Without him, I'm exposed and I'll be completely lost. Nothing of myself can shelter me absolutely anymore. And do you need his fruit? Because all the things that you thought was fruit of your, that you could satisfy God, it's all insufficient. Insufficient shelter and nothing to cover yourself. You need him and his fruit. Have you tasted a little something? Just a little something in the milk of the word of the gospel of who Jesus Christ is for a perishing black sinner. Have you tasted something of his precious name, Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sins. Or have you been led further and have you eaten something of the meat of those deep doctrines of grace, of being able to look into eternity, of that eternal love of God for such a wretch as you? They taste a little something. They experience maybe just a little rest. Have you? In the past, through the reading of the word, through the gospel, in the preaching, in church, a little rest. And now you miss it again, but you long for it again. You taste it. And you long to taste it again. And so you cry, Lord, draw me, and I'll run after thee. Kiss me with the kisses of my mouth. Oh, that precious bridegroom, he has such an abundance. They can eat, and they can eat, and they can eat. The whole world can eat from them, and it would never, ever diminish that abundance and that unequal splendor and riches of the precious bridegroom. All the bride cries, draw me, and I'll run after thee. And the bride, they long for that comfort. They adore him. They need him. They miss him. They need him for everything. And the bridegroom, he desires with desire to have communion with them. He draws them, calls them to comfort them. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come. Come and sit. Come and sit under the shadow of my wings. Come and eat of my fruit. Eat of those fruits that I have given. No, not just that broken bread and that shed out wine, but the fruit of my body, of my blood. And be comforted in your soul. Be assured of my love and faithfulness for you. I will never, ever, ever lose. I will never, ever be separated. You will never be separated from my love. Oh, come. Come and eat of my merits, of my works, of my fruits. Come and be refreshed in your soul, oh dear black bride. But you're comely. You're comely in me. My Father can look upon you and smile because of me. Hide under my wings. Come and eat, drink abundantly. Come and sit. Come and sit at my table. And I will feed and nourish your soul with myself of who I am. And so we read in Song of Solomon 5 verse 1 for the bride. You who know these graces of God's grace in your life, eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. What a beautiful bridegroom. Unequal splendor. What refreshing shelter in him. And what sweet satisfaction in the soul because of him and because of his fruits. Amen. Let us sing from Psalter 235, stanzas 1 and 2. 235, 1 and 2, standing. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford, I cry to thee. 235, stanzas 1 and 2. Congregation, now let us read together the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather that it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son Jesus Christ with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sex, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ. We acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we do not have perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assuredly that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner we are to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promise made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner, also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye shall hereby, as by assured remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you. And as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries, being pressed together, one wine floweth, and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit, amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God, and with true faith implore his grace. Let us pray together. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but that thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, denying ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the holy, catholic, undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus. Let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is prepared, let us sing from Psalter 187, stanzas 1 and 2. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free, and tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer, thy servant bless. 187, stanzas 1 and 2. Dear congregation, all things are ready. The bridegroom invites the bride. What a name to be the bride. Those poor sinners don't feel the bride. In themselves, black, but in him, they're comely. And he invites yet his dear people, those poor black sinners, who can find nothing in self anymore, but who long to sit under his wings, who have found in the past a little place of refreshment in him, who have tasted a little something by the grace of God through that revealed Savior of a sweetness in their soul in him, that there is a place for such an unworthy wretch. They are welcome to come. And he promises to assure them, those poor black sinners, with himself to feed them as they have tasted a little something already in the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, to feed them with those fruits that He is in Himself. My friend, if you know something of those true marks of grace, of how great my misery is, of how sinful, of how black I am in the sight of a holy and just God who can by no means clear the guilty, and I'm guilty. But also, if you've been revealed a little something of that precious Savior for exactly such unworthy black sinners, and that He has become suitable for your soul through the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that your eye looked upon Him, and that you long to live for Him, that you could serve Him with your whole being without any sin, is that you? Then you're welcome to come and to sit under the shadow of His wings at this table. The table is open. There is still the bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. What words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that precious bridegroom for His bride, that He has given His body to be broken. And we deserve to be broken because of our sin, but that He came willingly to give His body. This is my body, which is broken for you. What words of love, of comfort from the bridegroom for such unworthy sins. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. We deserve to be broken. We deserve to be beaten eternally. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. For you. All those words of that precious bridegroom. Yes, for you. I gave everything for you who have nothing. That black bride, I've given my body to be broken, to be beaten, to satisfy the justice of God. The cup of blessing which we break is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink, eat all of it. The beloved bridegroom is also the good shepherd, and He came to give His life. He's the good shepherd. We read in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He giveth his life. The wages of sin is death. We only deserve eternal death. But he came to give his body, to suffer, to die as the good shepherd. He gave his life for his sheep, for those sheep who have nothing, absolutely nothing. He's the precious bridegroom. And as we heard in this morning, he delights in his bride. How can that be? How can it be that he desires with desire to have communion with such black ones? And God the Father, through his Son, through his crucified, dear, beloved Savior, of his Son, the Savior, he can look upon black ones. They're comely in his precious Son. And this morning, as we eat and drink under the shadows of his wings, we are called to look up, to look away from self, sheep, to look unto him who gave his body to be broken, to gave his blood to be shed. Why? Because that is the food for poor, perishing sinners who can find no food in anything, anywhere else. Nothing in self anymore, but that's the food. That's the food that comforts. Why? Because that's where the Father was satisfied. His wrath was satisfied. And because of him, now there's no more wrath for his bride. There's only love. Love, eternal love. That love that began in eternity. That they experience a little something in this life, and it will go to eternity. To be with him, ever in his presence, with that bridegroom, that precious Savior of sinners, of wretched ones, of unworthy ones, of black ones. Who can express that love? The love of God the Father from eternity. The love of God the Son. May the Holy Spirit apply it to the hearts of poor beggars by his word and spirit, that they may be assured of his faithfulness and his love for such ones, and that you may sit under the banner of his love, and that his love may capture your heart, break your heart again, and that you may live out of him and out of his love. Let us sing from Psalter 426, stanzas 3 and 4. 426, stanzas 3 and 4. I cry, deliver thou my soul, O Lord. Jehovah heard. I pledge him my devotion. And what follows? 3 and 4. And then they will return when we sing Psalter 5 to our seats. dear congregation, are there others who must testify, I lie in the midst of death, but I seek salvation. I seek reconciliation with that holy God against I sinned against. Only in that only precious apple tree. He has become necessary for me. He has become so suitable for my soul. I need him. I need him. And have you sat, so to speak, as their faith in him? Have you sat a little at a time under his shadow and you felt a little refreshment? Maybe it's all dry, it's all gone, but did you experience a little something in your soul and your heart went out to him? Have you tasted a little something of his fruit, of that sweetness for your soul? Have you? Then don't deny him, but come. Come under those wings again and sit at this table. You've been fed by the gospel table, but now he invites you to come to sit at this table, to sit under his wings. Why? Because he wants to comfort poor sinners that have no comfort in anything else, in anyone else, but only in him. The table is open. Is there any others? It's a sensitive thing. And I don't want to work on anyone's emotions. But must you testify? And this is the last table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. This is my body, which is broken for you. Oh, what blessed words. Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat. It's broken for you, for me. Yes, for you, black sinner. It's broken for you. Take and eat. To eat of the fruit of him. To lift up our hearts unto him, that blessed bridegroom, who gave everything, who gave his body to be broken. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Broken for you, black bride. Black bride that has nothing, that deserves to be broken. Take and eat. Broken for you. For me, yes, for you. Take and eat. Broken for you. Take and eat, this is my body, broken for you. Take and eat, broken for you. Take and eat, this is my body, broken for you. What precious words of the Lord Jesus Christ for those who deserve to be eternally broken under his wrath. The cup of blessing which we break is the which we pour, which is the cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take and drink all of it. We read in Hebrews, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. God requires blood. The wages of sin is death, and he needs blood. He needs blood to be satisfied. And that precious Savior in the stillness of eternity, he knew there's only one way. And that's why he said that in Hebrews chapter 10, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Why? Because through his body that he could give as a sacrifice, that body had blood, and he could pour out his blood on the cross by those pierced hands and those pierced feet and the pierced side. He's the Lamb of God who willingly gave himself, not only to be broken under the wrath of God, but also to pour out his blood. And through that blood is the remission of all sins. We read in the Word of God, his blood cleanses from all sin. And through him, through his blood, that black bride is made comely, beautiful through him. The remission of sins. He came to give those fruits. Those fruits that are so necessary for that black bride that has nothing, and they need to be righteous. They need to be holy. They need to be cleansed. They need to be pure in the sight of him to be able to enter into his presence eternally. And it's through him, that precious Lamb, who gave his body, who gave his blood, poured it out willingly. He gave everything for a black bride who has nothing. What love, what unspeakable love of God the Father, who gave his Son exactly for this purpose, and who his Son came exactly for this purpose, to give everything so that black sinners, unworthy sinners, may eternally bask in his love, in his presence, in sweet communion, and on this earth through the gospel, and also in the sacrament, may taste a little something by the application of the Holy Spirit. What love! May we sing together from Psalter 426. 426, we'll sing stanzas 6 and 7, and when we sing verse 8, we will return to our seats. So 6 and 7, and stanza 8, we will return to our seats.
Thank you.
beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us there joyfully praise his holy name with thanksgiving, everyone saying his heart thus, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, be now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let everyone say with an attentive heart, let us close in thanksgiving. O almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast, of thy infinite mercy, given us thy only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 55, stanzas 1 and 3. The Lord my shepherd holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me, no want shall find me there. In pastures green he feeds me, with plenty I am blessed. By quiet streams he leads me, and makes me safely rest. 55, stanzas 1 and 3. Thank you. dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.